Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Service Without Excuses podcast here tonight. I want to thank our sponsors, Sotellus, sotellus.com/Rob Lyon, R-O-B-L-Y-O-N. They are the Cadillac of review management software. We use them in our own service-based business. They collect our customers' reviews, our customers' feedback, and make sure that stuff gets all over the internet for people to read and get an opinion about our business and make a decision whether they want to possibly call us and hire us. So we love them. We get many calls during the week during our regular season just to book us, and it makes our job much easier and the transition a lot easier. So consider using them. Sotellus.com/Rob Lyon, L-Y-O-N. They are an amazing sponsor of the show. Tonight, we're going to continue our talk about automation. We're going to talk a little bit more about different ways to automate your business. You know, I always have had a lot of guests on. I had Fiddlebug on. I've had SendJim. I've had Sotellus, obviously. I've had these different companies on that are great at automation when it comes to collecting information and making your company work on autopilot, whether you're doing it and you're going there manually doing it or not. There's ways to do it. And Trevor, our next guest, has a background with service businesses and, of course, software programs that had to make companies way more efficient, way more profitable, and a lot more fun, too, as well. But Trevor, Ewan, what's up, bro? How are you, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Rob.
I appreciate it, man. So, Trevor, please tell our listeners a little bit more about your business and your background. We got that nice discussion about, you know, service-based background, understanding it, your background onto how it applies to a lot of companies and people that are going to be listening to this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am, my discipline is software engineer, computer programmer to some, and I've worked all over the stack. When I first got out of college, I worked in a lot of corporate clients, mostly banking and media, because I was based in the New York area and that's where a lot of the work was. And, you know, working in those enterprise level projects, you're tending to build technology for technology's sake. And, you know, examples of that would be, you know, you're building the payment management system. You're building HBO Go is a project I worked on when I worked with HBO for a while. You know, you're building the actual product that the company is offering. So it's a first class citizen in many respects. And there's a lot of money poured into that. There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of people involved, to say the very least. And as I went on in my career, I became more interested in some of the sides of the market that were less served by technology. And specifically, a lot of times it was back office and operations, but also businesses that are not explicitly tech, but tech-enabled businesses, right? So they are doing something, and they have business leaders, business thinkers who are every bit as good and smart as everyone who's, you know, working in the corporate strategy roles, except they're trying to figure out how to make, you know, the actual operation of their business run a little faster and get more automated. And so that's something that I got into over the years, starting first with a environmental services company that is actually based out of Australia. And I work with one of their representatives in Chicago, and eventually moved on to, you know, auto insurance, and then also a lot of other environmental services, as well as solar power, law firms. The list goes on. And the point is, none of these businesses are offering a technology product, so to speak, but what they are offering is something that they want to do faster, they want to do better, they want to automate it. And there's a lot that I've really grown to love about this customer base, and we can talk a bit more about that.
Absolutely. So some of the things I think about, you know, I've had business owners that literally are still capturing their stuff in like QuickBooks, their information, and they're using that as how to operate their business. They're doing their invoicing and stuff. And I've always had the tendency to say, listen, guys, it's a great accounting program. It is the standard for service business accounting, but it's certainly not a CRM program. Certainly not going to make you any more efficient, any more profitable. It has its limited capabilities. It's very good at what it does, but it's also not good at a lot of other things. And can you explain to some of our listeners what the benefit of using, you know, a really good operating system, you know, to streamline their business, look at numbers, look at things in particular, look at the advantages to having something in place like what you develop to make their life a lot easier?
Right. So, I mean, I think the first thing to note is in many cases, many of the people you're talking to don't even have to get as far as hiring my company or, you know, myself to do any of this kind of work. We might make some of the recommendations in the process, but there is a certain level of health that you got to get to. And, you know, the example would be if you're training for some kind of triathlon or something like that, there's just a certain number of things you're going to have to do before you'd ever have to work with a coach, right? Just, you got to get in shape. You got to eat right. You know, you got to know how to swim and to get all that stuff there. And then at the very end of it, okay, I want that slightly better time. I want that slightly better performance. That's where we come in. Not that we're coaches, but we are dealing with what I call the last mile problem in software. And it's all related. So we'll spend a lot of time with customers in discovery, something I really like to do because, you know, as you know, these businesses are very relationship oriented, right? So I'm more than happy to talk to you 5 years before you actually need something that I can offer. And if nothing else, I get a great relationship out of it. And a lot of times what I'm saying is, hey, you know, you're not working with a state-of-the-art system here. You're not really working with an accounting system that's going to interface well with your sales system or your expense management system. Here's some recommendation. Here's some best-in-breed software for that. Really let them go out, do the research. Hopefully they have someone on the operations side who can help them with that. So it's not all falling on the business owner, but sometimes you have a very motivated person who's willing to do that. And then once they get past that, probably a level of automation that you would think is sufficient for someone who's running a small to medium-sized business, they are going to start to notice things in their business that are no longer generic, like having an accounting or expense management system. But all of a sudden, they're going to notice things that are very specific to their business that they also want to automate. That is the moment where we come in and deal with, you know, what I've referred to in our case studies as the last mile problem. This idea of, okay, you're really good. You've gotten your operations as far as you can get. You're doing the 80%. Now we're going to go for that 20%. That makes your business just supercharged. And it can be something along the lines of increasing efficiency in an operation task that you have in the back office, or a lot of the stuff ends up being a better way to get information from customers, particularly for very complex bid processes. We could speak to some examples of that in a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think that, yeah, it would answer some very specific things and would keep you on track. So if you have a business and you're not sure about where certain things are, you know, you can pull reports, you can pull things from, again, those, you know, regular financial things, but you can't pull, you know, can't see where KPIs are in the business, where those important quick decisions you have to make to keep yourself in line with what's currently going on, make those decisions that aren't going to cost you a lot of money. So in specific, let's just say a company, a service provider is growing their business and they're at the point they are doing, you know, some serious revenue, and they decide they want to have some type of custom software program. They've outgrown whatever else is out there. It's not fitting all their standards anymore. They may have grown into it and it's done as far as it can go, like you said, but they're ready to just hit that next plateau and they want something specific for them. Is that something your business helps service businesses out with?
Absolutely. And what we do first is we seek first to understand. Right. What is the thing we're solving for? And there could be a problem in my field of people obscuring the information a little bit too much and just trying to say, oh, we could just, you know, build them the biggest platform ever and then they have to pay for it. Right. I think that's the worst, you know, example, the most cynical example of what could actually happen. But I have seen things like that go on, which is you can kind of just infinitely charge someone to build forever. What we want to do is we want to build the minimum thing that the customer needs and really start to build on that in terms of what they actually develop afterward, right? So they've identified that there's a need in the business that is just not serviced by the current offering. A lot of times it's because that they have something so specific to their workflow. Legal requirements come up as an example of this, right? Where they say, you know, the CRM system's fine, but then once it comes to signing all the documents, it's impossible to get our customers through the workflow. And we end up paying somebody in our operations side, you know, $100K a year just to deal with this paperwork, right? And they don't necessarily want to fire that person, but they want a smart person to do something else with their head than just wrangle paperwork, something that can be done in the automation phase. That'd be a good example of something that would come up a lot. And so we'd work with them and try and figure out what is really the problem that we're dealing with here. And sometimes the problem is that customers make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes the problem is administrative overhead. Sometimes the problem is just doing tons of checks and compliance, you know, at the level that if a human does it, it's just going to be slow, and computers are really good at dealing with that kind of work. But no matter what the case is, we want to make sure we're actually solving a real problem and not just, you know, putting some gloss over it and then you're persisting with an issue.
I was thinking about something as you were saying this. You're in that you dealt with environmental issues. So environmental, let's say, is part of what some of our listeners are, is they're into the mold remediation portion of it. Maybe asbestos remediation, maybe even it could be lead removal, whatever that happens to be. Yes, their program will track what they're doing financially and those things. But then, like you just brought up a great point. Documentation is key, especially when you're dealing with the environmental side.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know how it is in Australia, but I could say in America, in particular, the New York market, it's very, very specific, very detailed, and there's a lot of laws in place to make sure people are compliant to things. I would imagine having something in a program that is very, you know, you're building something to them, and having something very specific for an area, say, okay, we have a form for this, a form for this that can be uploaded. It's digital, it's online, whatever it is. And maybe a technician or somebody goes out to a house, does the work, does the job, and needs to have that, you know, be able to pull that file down to get a signature of acknowledgement from the customer. I'd imagine those things very specific to environmental contractors would be a major thing.
Yeah, and I think that's why we've had some capture in the industry. I think there's two things going on. One is just I happen to have a few relationships there, but also some growth, I think, is another factor. But beyond that, you know, we've seen two things in environmental services that are always interesting. One is the regulation, as you mentioned. And Australia at the time, it's changed a bit. They, like our country, have things change a lot as the politics change. But they had at the time instituted the first, I think, major carbon tax that any country at that point had. I know they had the hole in the ozone layer there, so there was a much bigger, more prescient environmental concern going on. And so there was all these monitoring requirements, and all of a sudden, you know, my customer was operating a lot of landfills there, and they had so many reporting requirements. And it's exactly what you say. Technician was going out into the field, and they just collect data point, and then upload it to the system. And the system is doing a trillion different things in the background to make sure those data points get to the right place, get to the right people, get signed off. If a particular reading is above a certain threshold, you know, the administrators get notified. That kind of, you know, we want to say really boring stuff, but stuff that is really the meat of that kind of business. If you're running landfills, that pretty much is your job. It is those reporting requirements. And then the other side we get is sometimes requirements and estimation process from customers is extremely complicated, right? So, you know, it's just different than saying, hey, I want the wall painted white, right? You know, all of a sudden you need to say, give people a lot of dimensions about the kind of space or the kind of building they're operating on. What's the permitting requirements, the legal regime around there? Do you have this documentation, this paperwork? All that stuff needs to get uploaded, collected. Of course, it has to be secured. So there's a certain kind of business, and you see this a lot in the service world, where the information that needs to be collected from customers gets complicated enough that the cost to build a custom system becomes almost nothing to them, because they realize we're paying the cost anyway. We're paying for someone to go out and manually do this work. And that's been the most rewarding part about working with my customers, is I don't usually have to convince them to spend money on this, because if they're aware of what's going on in their business, they've already spent a lot of money on it.
You know, it's really even more than that. It's not even spending money. It's an investment. Investment on your infrastructure, investment on your business, investment on your future. I think these things are, you know, very, very critical when it comes to growing your business and having it. And again, you have a bunch of different employees. Let's say you're an environmental contractor and you have 100 employees. Are every single employee, every technician going out and doing the exact same job every time, cross the T's, dot the I's? No. But if you have systems in place, automated systems like this, like computer programs that can take these files, these documents, and say, okay, we're at this point, we got to make sure on this particular situation, we're getting, you know, this signed, the customer has this statement or has this file sent to them. So they're, you know, we're all on the same page. And especially when it comes to governmental compliance too, as well, I would imagine, you know, having something that does that is it's, like I said, it's a full-time staff, not just one employee that's having these things put in place to do it. I can think about there's programs in the disaster restoration field, and there are files and things that can be done to it. But every single, you know, I hear stories pretty much on a daily basis. Oh, it didn't have this, so I got to go to this program. And it gets to the point where some of these companies, again, not to go back to what we said before, all hit a plateau where they need something specific to a business. Businesses think nothing about something specific in the marketing realm. Well, I want to have this type of marketing, but I want to do this type of thing, and I want to branch out into these ventures, and I'd have to, they think nothing about that. But their background stuff, their back end stuff, the back office stuff, making sure it's done correctly too as well. We had a program called, it was a job document program. And what it did is you would have customers sign off. They get the, you know, we're here, we're testing for lead, we're testing for asbestos, we're testing for whatever, we're making sure this is done, we've contacted, and it's basically a checkoff list. And it's a digital checkoff list that goes out with the technician. We report what the job is, and then all of this stuff is done. And then it's uploaded to a cloud or to the server, and it's gone. It's done and finished. So I would think that, you know, very, very specific things to would make be like a full-time staff that is handling things. But the thing is that full-time staff is not, you know, somebody didn't come in today, somebody's sick, somebody's not on their game. You know, these things are taken care of regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned investment too. Obviously, you know, we want people to go away thinking about it like that, but we do have good, you know, having done this now for a number of years, we have a couple good instances, a couple good examples of it. I like to think about, in this case, we have this case study available online, but the insurance company we work with works a lot in the used car market. And that world is highly regulated by state law, right? So every state is a, you know, you're effectively opening a new business. And when we started with them, they had four states. Granted, they were fairly large states, including California, which was their main market. Well, they're now in 16 states, right? And what's really cool about that is the platform has undoubtedly allowed them that expansion, because instead of developing the paper trail in all those new markets, they just went to the new markets and said, no, you're using the platform exclusively, right? So they didn't even have to offer the dual option to say, oh, we have a paper and you know, the electronic option. We just have, oh, no, this is the way it's going to work. They even got to a point where for certain dealers, they're mandating e-signatures as well. So trying to move them along in the process as well. And this all comes back to their bottom line in the form of just reducing the overhead, right? They're not trying to figure out where are these signed documents? Did they put the wrong address? Did they even send them in the mail? Is it sitting on the person's desk? All this stuff is back in their inbox, you know, within the day, assuming the buyer was able to sign the document. So we see a huge opportunity there in terms of what people are thinking of. Where does your business go next, right? You could imagine somebody who's got a small business, they've run their operation well. If you're thinking about, say, franchising it or expanding it out where you're going to have other managers, it would be immensely helpful to have a centralized platform where you're able to do all this kind of work. And then you can tell the new manager, hey, I know you're not as familiar with this business as I am, and you're opening a new branch, but guess what? You're going to get all your contract processing done through the system we've already built. And then I think the final act of this, which will take a while to achieve for some, but some of the most ambitious will recognize they own the IP. And if they've actually built up the best, say, lead remediation platform for the state of New Jersey, for instance, where we both live, you know, if you have that platform, well, that's fully a sellable platform. For one thing, it's a business on its own, right? You could sell that to other people via subscription, but you could also sell that as a standalone asset outside of your business for a very decent price as well, because software businesses tend to go for pretty good multiples.
One of the big things a business is worth, you know, everybody gets really focused on their business assets. So they decide one day, you know, I want to sell it. I don't have any kids. I don't have somebody who want to try it down to. They want to just put it up in the open market to sell. And they always look at their hard assets. They look at their trucks, their equipment, their supplies, their inventory, and say that's the value. And really, that has very little tangible value at a resale because they're looking at the ROI. And I think, you know, marketing systems in place, reputation systems in place, and ultimately central operation systems like a CRM program that automate the business that are specific to that company would be immensely powerful when it comes to getting a higher asking price when it comes to your business, because it's specific for your company. It's not something where, okay, if the CRM program companies, let's just use that for example, and they go out of business in a year and you're down, you're in trouble. Well, this one is specific for you. You've had somebody build it for you. You've had somebody maintain it, grow with it, maybe add extra plugins to it, whatever that is. But you've been able to build upon that. And again, it's specific for your business. That has to be something that people have to think of. Also, when do you feel a business, like a service business in particular, that's what most of our listeners are, is ready to make that change? Obviously, if they're thinking about developing a franchise, that's a key one, because all the franchises have very specific CRM programs, at least the ones that are growing. They're not borrowing other people's CRM programs and custom fitting them to them. They are putting their own things in place, their own operating systems in place. When do you think, what's a KPI for like a service business owner to say, we're ready, we got to start really looking at this. As you said before, sometimes 5 years down the road, but they could be 5 years too late at that point and not be ready for that jump into the next venue, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it will vary. I mean, that's the, you know, the most kind of hand wavy answer imaginable, but I'll try and nail it down a little bit more than that. So what I'll say is I tend to see that businesses below $1 million in revenue, which I think is a pretty big marker for a lot of people in the small business world, they probably have enough stuff they can improve on without investing a significant amount of money in this. And the other reason I say that is because they would look, a project like this would be a large enough chunk of their annual revenue that now may still be worth the investment. They're very growth minded. They're very forward looking. That's fine. But I would take the guess that they have enough other stuff they can focus on in the meantime. And so that would be one marker I'd look at. Once you're above $5 million in revenue, if you haven't even considered this, you're probably doing some things inefficiently. So there really is a very nice period in there where you're growing out of the pure small business phase, where you really do need to start thinking about some of these things, because these are the only things that are going to make you move faster, other than, you know, having a massive hiring plan, which I think, as you know, and anyone in the service business knows right now, hiring is a tough thing. So getting the automation right in terms of having to hire a few less people is just better, so you can keep the best people you got hard at work on that side. So that's one thing I'd say. So, you know, under $1 million, you probably have other things you can do. Above that, you really should start thinking about it. And above five, I'd just be shocked if you didn't have something like this already in place or something like this that you were already working on. The other thing I'd say is I just want to make sure the business is already healthy, right? So if they say something along the lines of, well, we just can't, you know, we can't get our accounting in order, and I find out that they don't really have a decent accounting system in place, that's not a custom thing that we have to build. Every now and then you'll have a business that does have very extremely custom accounting needs, and that's fine. But there's great off-the-shelf tools for that kind of stuff, and they should absolutely be using it. Now, when they start thinking about the higher order problem of, we don't have an accounting system that sends the right kind of invoice to our customer because our customers need the invoices looking like this or some other specific thing. Now we're starting to talk about the kind of problem that gets on top of that off-the-shelf stuff. You know, every now and then there is a sense to build something that an off-the-shelf company has done, but if there's enough money in a business, some kind of commodified software, you know, I do encourage people to look off the shelf first, because there are people, you know, literally dedicating, in some cases, billions of dollars to making sure that that product runs well and runs effectively and has new features and new things for them. So it's starting to get more to that business specificity case. And I think you also have to evaluate your customers, right? And what are you doing with your customers? Are your customers expecting high digital touch points? That's going to be earlier that you're going to have to deal with that. Are they not expecting it? Okay, well, then it's something you can maybe wait on. One thing I will say, though, and we see this a lot in the auto insurance world, customers drag their feet, and the insurers are just trying to move them along, because at this point, they're just saying the back office cost is getting too high, and we like making these customers comfortable, but we also like keeping the process moving. So I think they do have a certain amount of patience that they lose at a certain point when you realize you're spending a couple $100,000 a year in the back office just dealing with paperwork. So that's some of the dynamics I see at play. And I think anyone you know will know their customers well, and they'll know what stage in the life cycle they're in. They'll say, yeah, am I still complaining about stuff that's fairly generic? You know, have I not even figured out how my company email system works? Like that kind of stuff, you know, your domain, your email system, all that stuff, you can get that right without any of our help. But then when you're at that higher level decision, that's a great point to engage with it.
And plus, it's something, again, you can custom build to your company to suit your needs. And it's yours. Again, tremendous resale value, tremendous value in your business, tremendous value in the equity of the business. Frankly, that seems to be the best way to look at it. But Trevor, how can our listeners find out a little bit more information about you? Say they're interested in this, they want to know a little bit more, and they're saying, hey, you know, I think we're here. My business, like you said, in restoration, $5 million is not an odd number for restoration contractors, and
sure,
they may be using 3 or 4 different programs at one time, so they might be spending a small fortune to get this program to link with this, to get this link program to link with this. And sometimes that's a necessity. I understand that. But what if you could build a platform that's specific to your company? There are a number of large restoration contractors that are multi-truck companies in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, New York, that have, you know, 40, 50 trucks, and they're a sizable company. They're doing $10, $15 million a year or better. And do they have something that is in place right now that is specific to their company, that's specific to their growth strategy? Again, we can't think, you said 5 years in advance, but everybody should have a plan. And if you have a plan and you have a way, sustainable way to get there, to get from 1 million to 5 million to 10 million to 15 million to 20 million to 50 million, there are strategic systems in place to do that. And I think one of the major strategic systems is to plan these things ahead. So when your business is at that level, it's running streamlined. You're not having, you know, employee A or B not be on the same page because they're used to this program. Everybody's pretty versatile in what's out there and what's being built around the circle of the company itself.
Right. So I'll speak to that in just a second. So information for me, and we can say this again at the end of the show. So our company is called Southport Technology Group, and you can find us at southporttechnologygroup.com. That's a little long, so we also have stg.software, which will get you to the exact same site. And feel free to shoot us a message over there. You can also find out a bit more about me, whether it's my LinkedIn profile and what else I'm working on at trevoruin.com, but it also links out to Southport Technology Group. I'm obviously very focused on this day-to-day. So in terms of companies planning, like you said, I think the key thing they want to do is, there's probably a lot of your listeners who are out there saying, yeah, I do want something, but I'm not quite sure what I want, right? And for that, I would say go with the pain, right? So just, and you know, business owners, people who are running operations don't have a lot of time. So just, you know, do this over lunch or something, but do a mini survey of some of the people who are insightful, but also very active in your organization. So definitely talk to the sales team, talk to folks in the back office, talk to technicians and say, what's a problem you're dealing with? Just what's a problem that you think some kind of solution could come in and help you with? And really just look for the part where they say, this is the thing I like the least. This is the thing I spend so much time on. This is the thing I wish I was doing less of. That's going to be a great lever for you to pull. One of the things I love about this customer base that maybe I mentioned in another sense, but I want to just pull it out again. A lot of times people, technology entrepreneurs who are just building technology for technology's sake, you know, products and things like that, they're trying to find a problem a lot of the time, right? So they're saying, you know, maybe this Twitter thing, some people want to use it. I don't know. Let's go and figure it out. Well, the business owners that you're speaking to have a great advantage. The problem is already there. It is right in front of them in the most obvious way possible. And they don't need to prove it out at all because they can talk to all the people who are stakeholders right now and have them say, yep, this is a problem. If I had a system that did X, Y, Z, I'd be good. And that is incredibly powerful and also keeps costs down because we are able to build the spec for a lot of our customers. And then they get pretty much the results they expected out of it because they've been talking to their user base, you know, pretty aggressively in a way that a new product company just doesn't. They don't quite know. They're always uncertain if the market will hit correctly. And this is one of the things we like about the internal software aspect of this. So, you know, we have the saying, go with the pain, figure out where that is. And that's going to be a good launching point. And what you're going to find is once you get started on this process, there's going to be more and more opportunities and you're going to be like a light bulb. I mean, I have regular calls with my customers. We just, you know, call to catch up and that's it. But in those conversations, inevitably new products are getting created constantly where we're, you know, coming to fruition of, oh, I didn't realize you were dealing with this problem. Here's something I'd recommend to deal with that. We could spec it out. We could do a little test to see if this is the right approach. So those kind of ways of thinking is going to be demanded of the modern entrepreneur, to be honest. I don't think they're going to have an option to opt out of it, but especially the growth-minded one. And I think a lot of your listeners would be in that camp are going to be the ones who are trying to plan this ahead, and going with the pain is one of the smartest things they can do there.
I really appreciate your time today explaining this, and that's a great way to look at it because nothing will resonate more than pain when it comes to your business. And it, I call it like a little bit of a bad toothache, you know, when it comes to your business, if you're having these things that keep punching you, and we all have them. I mean, again, what he just said is very profound. Talk to your technicians, talk to your people. They're going to have problems. Just say, listen, write down some of the issues you're having during day-to-day, some things you're finding, and that's how to build up a system around that. But Trevor, man, thank you so much. It's great information. You came at it from a different perspective than our normal guests, which was really beneficial, and it gives people an idea about building at their platform to suit their needs, to be exactly what they want, to make it a true hard asset in the business, a true solid, resistible asset in the business. And at the end of the day, really be the business, because the faster the an ownership or new ownership can maintain a nice ROI, the better off they're going to be, the more valuable the business is. And if you have things in place that are showing all these KPIs ahead of time and saying, this is what we need to do here, this is what we need to do here, all that automation's in place, again, regardless of whether somebody's there or not, is crucial to the business. Because say in particular, and a lot of people, and I've done it myself, running a company, you put your focus on a certain person in the company that said, you say, this, I couldn't do this without this person. I need this guy. I need this person. I need Jane. I need Jim. Well, you may need Jane and Jim, and they may be phenomenal people, but Jane and Jim can be here today and unfortunately gone tomorrow. They can be leave to go for another company. There's a lot of things. They can, their wife or husband can get a job in another state and they're gone. And now you're left going, well, what do I do? My business isn't virtual anymore. I need to have these people here. Well, this having a system in place does it whether Jane or Jim are there or they're not. And things are in place to also train a new Jane or Jim if they decide to move on for any particular reason. And having those things in place, I think, would be crucial to any service business that's trying to really scale at any normal pace and above. So, Trevor, thank you so much for being here today, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Like I said, if your listeners are interested, check out southporttechnologygroup.com and stg.software. We're always happy to just have a conversation to, you know, get to the root of what you're dealing with in your business. And one of the most fun parts of the job for me is learning from all the great business owners we meet. And we meet tons of great people, and a lot of them come out of the least expected places. And that's just one of the fun things about such a wide and dynamic service economy. So I hope some people take up the offer. And I just thank you for doing your work too, Rob. One other thing I'll mention is we do work globally. I mean, in the software world, you can be pretty agnostic in terms of your location. I am in New Jersey, where Rob is as well. But that doesn't mean that this is the only place I work. We work all over the world.
100%. And you give them the benefit of having that information. And again, it's having the worldview, so to speak, of software is again, I think, a really crucial thing when talking to him. So all of Trevor's information will be in the show notes too as well. So if you need to get in touch with him and you didn't catch it quite on listening to it, it will be in the show notes. So you will be able to contact that information very quick. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, Sotellus, sotellus.com/Rob Lyon, R-O-B-L-Y-O-N. They are the Cadillac of review management software. They are awesome when it comes to collecting and distributing all the information to your potential customers in your markets. So it's a great thing. And again, I really appreciate Trevor coming here today, and take him up on that and make sure you message him. And don't be behind the eight ball when it comes to it. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm not there, I can't think about it. You have to think about tomorrow. You have to think about what is going to build the real value and the real tangible assets in your business. And without these types of things, I can tell you no company of any size has grown without having very specific programs to them. You can only go so far with a lot of the stuff that's out there. And I'm part of that too as well. And I understand that. But you need something specific to grow your business, to get it to that scalable level you need to be. Trevor's your guy. So thank you, my man. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks, Rob.